Okay, today we're going to be speaking about medicines. And, you know, we're all used to making sure the fruit is kosher before we eat it. yet, we see lots of people eating medicines and medicinal type items without, they don't think twice about it. So, you know, obviously, if there's a question of any possible danger to someone's life, there's no question they should take the medicine and not think about the kosher status. So, you know, if you have a medicine for some serious condition, take the medicine. Don't think twice about whether it's kosher. Good. Okay, but what about things that people take for their headaches or their coughs or other small, you know, minor ailments? And there's no chance that it's life-threatening. So do those have to be kosher or not? And maybe there's special coolers for people who are sick or something else that we're not thinking of. So I'm going to divide this into four parts. First, we'll talk about tablets and some related things, then liquids and chewables. Third will be gel caps, and last will be vitamins and supplements. Okay, so let's start with tablets. The isser to eat anything that's not kosher, or to even chew it for that matter, chew something that's not kosher, only applies when something is edible. If we have something that's not edible, then it's not considered food, and any isurim that are on there get lifted. We're going to talk about akshrei a little bit later. So if you have a medicine that's in a tablet form, then you could use it. It's not considered edible, and you could swallow it, regardless of what the ingredients are. That applies year-round. Excuse me, or on Pesach, same thing. And the same idea is for a cream. Also, a person could use a cream that considered to be not edible. Now, the issur is to swallow something that's not kosher, but if a person has something that's not kosher given to him through intravenous or a suppository, that's fine. Even if they would include, even if there are trace ingredients in them, I'm not swallowing them, so there's no issur. One exception to that rule is if the item, if that intravenous item or the suppository has something which is asur b'hana. Issur hana, two issur hana that are most common are chametz on Pesach or stam yayin, like wine or grape juice. So if it had one of those, then I wouldn't be allowed to use it, not because I'm eating issur, because I'm not eating it, it's coming intravenous or through suppository, but it's because I'm having benefit from it. Now, neither of those choices is very likely in a medicinal type intravenous or suppository in the United States. In Europe, it is more possible that those might contain chametz on Pesach. So someone who's in that kind of situation or lives in Europe should have to try and deal with it at that point. Okay, so let's move now to liquids and chewables. So the most common kosher sensitive ingredients in liquid medicines are glycerin and flavor. For chewable pills, there's typically no glycerin in them, but there's almost always flavor, and some of them also contain lactose also. I'm mentioning these number of items. There may be more, but those are the most common, and if you want to be sure, you have a medicine in front of you, you want a liquid or a chewable, you want to be sure it doesn't have anything kosher sensitive in it, then show it to somebody who knows ingredients. Typically, that's a kosher-related people, because these are food-type ingredients, and they'll be able to tell you whether there's something kosher sensitive in it. So, the general rule is that we wouldn't eat something that has a flavor. And I'm going to go through these ingredients that I just mentioned to you. I'll just go through them one at a time. Usually, we would tell people not to eat, a person should not eat something that has a flavor that doesn't have hashgacha, because the flavor can contain ingredients that are vidal taima and are not batel. So you shouldn't do that. Now, once I tell you that, you're going to say to me, okay, well then, that means is basically I can't have any liquids or chewables because they all have flavors in them. Just about, I can't imagine there's almost none of them that don't have a flavor in them. But the good news is that for reasons that are like a little bit beyond today's discussion, excuse me, most people assume that if somebody's sick and there's no other way to get relief without it, then they can ignore the presence of the flavor. Again, it has to do with halachic issues that are a little bit beyond us for today. But just I'll just say that it's assumed that if the only issue is a flavor, then they should ignore the flavor when it comes to a medicinal type item. Now, already before we move on, you already hear a difference between chewables and liquids that I mentioned to you. The chewables, the flavor tends to be the most serious problem. Sometimes they have lactose, or sometimes they have other ingredients. But if our main concern is just a flavor, And for a sick person, we can ignore the flavor, then we're already doing pretty well, as compared to liquids that tend to have glycerin in them, which is a much more serious issue. So if without knowing anything else, if a person has a choice between a liquid and a chewable, then the chewable is going to be preferable. Let's move on with our ingredients. Lactose is a little bit more sensitive than flavors. It's a byproduct of making cheese. And therefore, it potentially has bileus and penis acum. It's, of course, milk. It's made from milk and cheese. It's milk and smithra butter. Some people think that it doesn't have to be dafka chol v'sol. That's a separate discussion. But it has a small chance that it could be, that it could have bileus or chafin in it also. And we would usually tell people that to use it with hashgacha. Now glycerin, I mentioned. Glycerin is something that could be made either from non-kosher animal fat or from kosher vegetable oil. And the two of them are exactly identical. When the finished product, you can't tell the difference one from the other. Glycerin tastes sweet. It's edible. It's perfectly fine as a food ingredient. So that is to say, if a person has a medicine, it could have either, and it has glycerin, that glycerin could be kosher or fake. It could be completely one or the other. Now, nowadays, most manufacturers, particularly medicine manufacturers, prefer vegetable glycerin. And that's because there are a lot of consumers with cultural or health reasons who want to avoid animal products. And for that reason, and based on that, animal glycerin is cheaper than the vegetable, the kosher glycerin. So there's this sort of a tug of war, which is the manufacturers would rather use vegetable glycerin, but some would we'd rather in theory use a vegetable, but the animal stuff is cheaper. So, it's a toss-up which way that'll go, but there's an extra twist over here, which is that medicinal-type items have to be, approved and go through all kinds of regulatory approvals in order to be made, and it's not easy to switch suppliers or types of product from one to the other. So a company that always used kosher glycerin is likely to keep doing that. That's good news for the Jews, even if they could save a little money by switching. But the opposite is also true, that if someone overused non-kosher glycerin, once they made that decision on the first day, then they're likely to keep on using non-kosher glycerin for the same reason, because that's easy to change. So glycerin is definitely a sensitive ingredient, and we will see now how that plays out, but of all the ingredients that I mentioned, glycerin is the most kosher sensitive. Now, for Pesach, the issues for liquids and chewables are very different than what I just mentioned. Not very likely that the lactose or the grape juice or the glycerin are going to be made from chametz. They're very likely they'd be made from kidneys, but that's usually not an issue for a chayla. Most chayla are allowed to eat kidneys. But there are other ingredients that raise concern, like sorbitol and other things made by fermentation, like citric acid. So those may be chametzic. Not so likely in the United States, but all of those might be chametzic. It's really, that's a separate topic to talk about, but I'm just mentioning it here to say that, it's not the same kind of question. It's similar questions, but not exactly the same. Okay, so now we've heard the different ways that a liquid or chewable might be, what the ingredient that might make it not kosher, but that doesn't automatically mean that a person who wants their cough medicine, or as a child who wants their liquid, acetaminophen, should not do that. The question, that decision, aside from the ingredient issue, boils down to one very fundamental question. And that is, what does the word inedible mean? When we say, I've told you beforehand, that something that's inedible doesn't need hashgacha, doesn't need to be kosher, doesn't need difference what it is. What does that mean? So, some people think, one way of looking at it is that inedible means it's so repulsive that basically you can't eat it. Okay, so if that would be true, then something inedible, like the Gemara's examples are burnt food, or maybe we would say a raw potato, but we would never, if you think of it this way, then you wouldn't think that liquid medicines or chewables are inedible, because you could eat them, they're palatable, you could eat them, they're delicious, but it's nothing like eating a firm piece of food. Yeah, the other choice is that inedible means nobody would choose to eat this food if they were given a choice. So if we look at it, if that's what's considered inedible, then imagine if someone give you a choice. They put down apple juice, Pepsi, and cough medicine, liquid cough medicine. Not one person who was there would pick the cough medicine. Because that's not considered a reasonable food. You could get it down, but nobody wants it. Nobody would choose it over apple juice and you know, Pepsi. So if you think that inedible means that nobody would choose to eat this food, then liquids and chewables qualify as inedible. Okay, so our question depends on this very much. Now, while I'm mentioning this, I'll throw in that antibiotics in liquid form, almost always, not always, but just about in every case, is given to treat a condition that if you would not do something about it, it would lead to esophagus sarcoma. It would lead to a possible danger to life, and therefore, people should take liquid antibiotics without asking questions. Our focus here is not on things like liquid antibiotics. We're thinking more about, like, cough medicine and something to help with fever. Okay, so we've heard that there could be non-kosher ingredients in liquid and chewables. We've heard that there's this question whether liquid and chewables are considered edible or not considered edible. So on that important question, I know of three different ways of looking at this. Okay, one is they take the lenient position and they consider liquids and chewables to be inedible. So if they're inedible, take whatever you want to. It makes no difference. There's no questions. You can do whatever you want to. There might be a preference to use a kosher one, but basically you could do whatever you want to because they're not considered edible. Now, others take the opposite approach. And they say, yes, it is considered edible, and therefore I see three choices. If you consider the liquids and chewables to be edible, you have three choices. The first one is buy something with a hechsher, or buy something that, you know, doesn't have any sensitive ingredients in it. Okay, the hechsher one is obviously better of those two. Though within this choice, the choosing one with a hechsher is obviously a better one. So, for example, a company recently made a liquid ibuprofen for children with Ohi Hashgach on it. So that's great. You know everything is kosher in it. And CVS sells a liquid acetaminophen that's for adults, not their children one. The one for adults, and it has no glycerin in it. Okay, and if you do the math, you'll realize that the dosage, that the amounts given, if you don't follow the instructions, but you follow the children's instructions, you'd be giving the right amount to a child. You know, so speak to a doctor, the pharmacist, but it's possible to use it. It doesn't have sensitive ingredients in it. Okay, so that's one choice. Second choice is, there are people who investigate. They work with companies to figure out who makes products that don't have non-kosher ingredients in them. So if you find something like that, that's done by a reputable group, rabbinic group, who knows what they're doing, and they can figure out that this has no non-kosher components, then it's not as good as getting Mohd Hashkacha, one that you know, you see has nothing in it that's sensitive, but it's definitely a second choice. And the third choice is to a person can dilute the medicine as follows. Every teaspoon of medicine, a teaspoon is the same as 5 milliliters or 5 cc, every teaspoon, if you dilute it in about 3 ounces of a kosher beverage, then the glycerin that's in there and the other ingredients would be Balta B'Shishim. Not for now, but it's not considered bitul sechatchila for whatever reasons, our discussion, but a person could do that. They could buy the one that has the sensitive ingredients, but use them by being mabatla. Okay, so this is all within the second way of looking at it that says is that medicine liquids are considered edible. The third is like a sort of a compromise, which is these people basically feel like liquids and chewables are edible. But they say, you know what, if a kid is sick and a person is a chayla, then we'll be sitting behind on the other shita. So they say, we wouldn't do this for nothing, just you have a choice. But if you have no other choices, then go ahead and use the one that's in a liquid or chewable, and don't worry about whether it's kosher or not. So we've heard all different kinds of opinions here, different approaches over here. And, you know, when a person is sick, that's not the time to go scrambling and figuring out what we're supposed to do with that. So the smart choice is that before someone's sick, a person should first call the rabbi and say, Rabbi, tell me which approach you want me to follow. You want me to consider it edible or not edible? You want me to buy one with hashkacha, with special ingredients, or this and that? Excuse me. And then, once they have direction from the rabbi, then go ahead and figure it out. Buy the right things so you have them in your house. Be prepared so that you have what you need rather than running around in the last minute when someone's not feeling well to try to figure it out. Okay, let's move on to our third thing, which is gel caps. Now, we already saw that things that are nesom echil, that means inedible, are allowed to be eaten, and things that are royal echil, that are edible, you cannot unless they're kosher. Okay, those are two extremes we have. But within, let me just, I'll mention, because we need to know this, that not only are you not allowed to eat something That's royal achila. But you're also not allowed to swallow it. Swallowing it without chewing is the same as eating it with chewing. It's the same thing. Okay? So we have these two extremes. We have royal achila that you're not allowed to have unless it's kosher. You have nesam achila. It's not edible. Those are mutar. But there's a middle category, and that's something that a middle category here, and that is if something is shaloka derech achila. What does that mean? That means is you have a food that's completely edible, but nobody would eat them in the form that they're in right now. Okay, and I'll explain that by giving you two of the Gemara's examples, which are vinegar and black pepper. Both of them are very edible. Vinegar and black pepper are ingredients in any normal regular kitchen has them. But if a person drinks vinegar straight or eats black pepper straight, then they've eaten shlokidar chachila in a very abnormal manner. And if they do that, that's only asr midrabanan. It's an isr midrabanan, which is mutter for a choyle she'en basakana. A choyle who's incapacitated. He's so sick that he's incapacitated. There's no sakana, but he's just not functional based on that. And assuming, of course, that they have no other choices. So this that I've just described, all of that, what shalika der chachila, a good example of that is gel caps. There are two types of gel caps. There are hard ones and soft ones. The hard ones are basically 100% gelatin, just dried into like a shape, like these two little parts that fit together. And soft gel caps are gelatin mixed with glycerin and some other minor ingredients, and that's more looks like a soft little football. Now, both types look like they're inedible plastic. That's what they look like. But the truth is, they're perfectly usable gelatin. If you put them into a yogurt or some other food, it would have the thickening properties of gelatin like any other one. Here's a food that's considered royal achila. It's a perfectly fine food ingredient. There's nothing different about it than gelatin that they use in a factory or somebody else to make something. But if you swallow these, it's shalika derech achila. Now, it's not shalika. The reason why shalika derech achila is not because you swallow, because I said beforehand, swallowing and chewing is the same thing. That's not the reason why it's shalika derech achila. It's shalika derech achila because nobody eats these things straight. They're only eaten as part of a food. You put them into something to thicken it to make it to have certain properties. You don't use it as is. So eating it as is the same as drinking vinegar or black pepper, or eating black pepper, that people don't eat them as is. If you do that, it's considered shloka derech achila, and it's only asr midrabanan. So, if a person is sick enough that they're incapacitated, they're chodesh en basakana, and there's no choices that have that are free of this of the gelatin, then they can take a gel caps. And the example is as follows. A person is a chodesh en basakana, and the medicine they need comes in two choices, gel caps and tablets. So, if they can swallow tablets, that's what they should do. Because the tablet is nifsum echila, there's no concerns with them at all, so they should do that and they should not take the gel cap. But what happens if they're not able to swallow tablets? Or there's some other reason why they just can't get the tablet, it's not possible to get the tablet form. Or they can use a gel cap, then they can use it because they're chodesh en basakana, and they're eating this gel cap shloka derech achila. Now, just I'll mention, Pesach-wise, it's really hard to imagine a gel cap having a chametz issue. they likely have kidneys in them, but for that matter, anybody who's allowed to eat a gel cap from a kashrus perspective is also allowed to eat kidneys, so they wouldn't worry about that. Okay, our last part is we need to talk about vitamins and supplements. So, as I've said a number of times, something that's inedible is permitted. It's something that should be also, but if it's an inedible form, it's inedible at this point, then you're allowed to eat it. But that's all assuming that it's inedible. So the Rabbanon is the following thought. If I take something that's inedible, but I bite into it and I eat it, I consciously choose to eat that, then we can no longer consider that to be inedible. This is a drabanan. We can no longer consider inedible. The fact that I eat it, the fact that I'm biting into this and eating this thing, shows that I consider it edible, because why else am I eating it? It must be that I do consider it edible. So for me, this thing loses its status as being inedible. This is called achshavei. Achshavei means I gave it chashivas, I showed that I consider it usable or good. And Shulchan Aruch brings it in Hilchos Pesach, it's brought that there's a din of achshavei. Now, the Achronim say that Achshavei does not apply when you swallow a medicinal tablet. And that's because Achshavei works through the logic of saying that if you eat it, it must be considered edible, because why else would you be eating it? Well, but when you're eating a tablet that's from a medicine, then we know why you're eating it. You're not eating it because you consider it edible. You're eating it because you want to get healthy, because you think that if you eat this thing, it's going to heal you. So actually, it doesn't make sense over here. Actually, it only makes sense when you say, the only reason I'm eating this is I must consider this edible. Well, no. Here, we know good and well why you're eating it, and therefore actually does not apply when you're eating a medicinal tablet. As I said, so I said earlier that you could take tablets in that are, pills, tablet pills that are because they're not edible, and don't have to worry about akshay. Okay, that's fine for pills, for regular tablets, for medicines. So Roshakta says, same thing is true for vitamin also. What's the reason why he's swallowing this tablet that's in a vitamin form? Because he thinks it'll be good for him. He thinks it's for his health. It's not because he thinks it's food. Not because he thinks it's edible. He's eating it because it'll make him better. So the same logic applies to vitamins and supplements. As long as they're in tablet form, you're allowed to eat them. Rav Short did not agree with that, and neither did Rav Belsky. And they said, a vitamin is really a food replacer. So when I'm eating a vitamin C pill, basically I'm eating, swallowing this thing instead of eating three oranges. When I swallow that pill, we say Achshavi and says, we see that you think of this as food. Instead of eating the orange, you're eating this, and you think this is a food. there is Achshavi. So there is an Achshavi when I have a medicine, a medicinal item, some chemical that's good for my as a medicine, that we don't say Achshavi. But when it's a food replacer, then they're arguing that Achshavi does apply. And in fact, the CRC follows that. So, if you ask them, can I take this in this vitamin? They say, no, you can't take it because, they don't know the whole reason, but the reason is because, actually, even though it's in a pill form, we see actually on that. Now, there's several very significant exceptions to this rule, the strict position that I just told you. And the truth is that effectively, after you hear all these exceptions, there aren't too many cases where the chumra, where this strict approach is actually going to apply. So first, like this. The only time this whole point makes sense to be machmen over here is when the active ingredient, the medicinal ingredient, is the one that's kosher sensitive. Like I have vitamin B2. So the vitamin B2 itself could be not kosher, and therefore we could say actually that you consider this is a food replacer. But what happens if the active ingredient is calcium or iron or vitamin B1 or something else which is not kosher sensitive? Then the actually doesn't make sense. The actually says is the fact that I'm eating calcium shows that I consider this to be a replacement for milk or broccoli. Both are good sources of calcium, okay? But calcium is not kosher sensitive. When they make it for pills, they don't get it from milk or broccoli. So it's not kosher sensitive. So the only thing that's sensitive here is some of the inactive ingredients. Well, there's no ashrei on that. I'm not eating those as food replacement. That just helps me make this pill work. So then, in this case, we have there's no ashrei on this vitamin, because the iron that I'm swallowing is not kosher sensitive, so the fact that some other ingredients might be kosher sensitive is not relevant, and as long as it's in a pill form, I'm allowed to eat it. That's one exception. And now, when we think an extension of that is that when you ask someone about the hashgacha, is this kosher sensitive, you have to a little bit probe a little deeper here when we think about the vitamins. Why is this thing kosher sensitive? Some of them, like B6, is kosher sensitive, inherently it's kosher sensitive, which is to say it's made by fermentation. In the case of B6, it's made by fermentation, and the media that's used to make the fermentation could have ingredients that are not kosher. Okay, that's for B6, or some other ones that are inherently kosher sensitive. But what happens if the vitamin itself is not kosher sensitive? But the reason why people will say it needs hashgacha is because it might be made on kalim that are not kosher. Or it might be perfectly kosher and kalim that are kosher, but it's encapsulated in gelatin. You know, there's something about the way it presents itself is not kosher. But the ingredient, the active ingredient itself is not sensitive. Then, again, there's no ashrei in this case, just like if we say the iron isn't sensitive at all. So here, the thing is only sensitive because of a side reason. It's not inherently sensitive. Again, there's no ashrei. But when I'm swallowing it, I'm showing that I care about the vitamin. I don't show that I care about the bilia or the encapsulation. That doesn't make a difference to me. So there would be no ashrei. Since it's in a pill form, I'm allowed to have it. And an example of this is vitamin E. Okay, vitamin E is made from soybean oil. almost always made from soybean oil, and that's kosher. Soybean is kosher. What's the reason why vitamin E needs hashkacha? Because it could be deodorized on kalim that are used for animal fat. A serious concern. Well, the vitamin E is a liquid, so in order to get it to fit into a pill, to stay pressed into a tablet, they'll encapsulate in gelatin, so it's sort of a solid, little tiny beads of gelatin, so it's a solid and can fit into a tablet. Okay, fine. That's also sensitive, you know, we don't want to eat gelatin. But none of those are possibilities that would make us have to say actually on it. Because again, I'm taking this because I want vitamin E. I'm not taking this because I want the gel encapsulation or I want the kaolin that was made on the bleach. That has nothing to do with it, so there wouldn't be ashrei. Okay, another exception is, we only, if you a tablet as a food replacer, when the vitamin is reasonably available as a food item. So I mentioned before vitamin C. You get vitamin C in citrus fruit. So Ashrei says, according to this position, Ashrei says this, we should look at the vitamin C as if it's a substitute orange and it needs hashgacha. Fine. What happens if a person has to take mega doses of vitamin C to deal with the deficiency? So then, in this point, you can't say that I'm swallowing the pill is a food replacement, because the replacement here is taking 99 oranges. So that's not a reasonable possibility. No one looks at this and says, oh, this person is doing this to replace 99 oranges because he could have instead had 99 oranges. That's not a feasible substitution. So, in which case, it turns back into being just a good old-fashioned medicine pill. And since it's in tablet form, it's an edible, there's no ashrei. And similar to that is, this whole line of reasoning that's a food replacer only makes sense when actually it's something that's available as a food. But like, let's say, vitamin D, that essentially is not available as foods. So if vitamin D is not available as a food, you can't say that my taking the vitamin D is I'm doing a food replacement, because there isn't any food that this could replace, because there isn't any food that has that in it. Or essentially, there isn't any food that has it in it. So if I do it in an edible form, then it is permitted. Okay, so we've covered many different forms and types of medicinal items. Hopefully everybody will stay healthy and not need these, but when they do, it's good to know what we can and cannot use.